Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Freddie's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Are you going hunting up north? Don't want to miss your favorite shows on The Fan, like the Bart Winkler Show, Bill Michaels Show, Wendy's Big Show. Well, the answer is easy, really. Simply download the radio.com app and take The Fan with you right up there into that tree stand while you're sitting there. You put your headphones in or your earbuds in, and you still listen to the shows while you're being awfully quiet waiting for that deer to prance in front of your tree stand. Never been hunting in my life, but that's what they tell me.
What does the film say?
Ed said the most important thing is film study.
Who looked good and who didn't?
Why? Because you have to watch yourself repetitively over and over and over again doing the same thing.
Let's ask Ben Fennell of the NFL Network. Brought to you by the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. $1,000 up for grabs every single week at radio.com/picks.
All right, it is the Wendy's Big Show. Time to bring on our guy, Ben Fennell now, who joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Ben, good afternoon. How are you?
I am doing fine. How are you?
Doing good. So I guess...
Ben don't never have a bad day. He always sounds chipper.
Yeah, he's always happy. Yeah, he's a happy nice guy. What's wrong with that? Nice he's happy guy. Like you all the time.
That's why I like Ben. I like how I learn.
Hey,
Leroy,
I don't ride the wave. You know, I don't get too high. I don't get too low. I like to stay nice and even keel. And when everybody's down, I pull them up. When everybody's too high, I pull them down. You know, I like to stay nice and even keel, right in the middle there.
So pretty much the exact opposite of me. Ben,
exactly.
Pretty much the exact opposite. Exact opposite. I'm the last thing
Steve,
but even keel.
Real quick, can you tell Ben about the smoke Aaron Rodgers been getting? Can you put that in context for him? I want to see what he thinks.
Oh, I think he's well aware of it. In fact, he retweeted the Rob Reichel piece.
Yeah.
And talked about, you know, why they took Jordan Love, because if you read the piece by Rob Reichel of Forbes, he talks about the fact that just hasn't played well in big games the last couple of years, and they're getting blown out. He got ripped, obviously, for getting blown out in games by Cowherd, who then finds some random stat about trailing at any point in a game what his record is, and it's under 500. Even Tebow is over 500 in his career. I'm not sure how much you really put into that stat, to be quite honest with you. And that's pretty much been Aaron Rodgers' week to this point, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you don't have to evaluate Aaron Rodgers' ability on a week-to-week basis. Aaron Rodgers is the same person in week five as he was in week one, as he was in week one in 2019. His ability hasn't changed. Now, their ability to execute as an offense, as a team, as a defense, you still have to play the game. You know, you still have very good players on the other side. They have a couple millionaires, too, and they're pretty good as well. So, you know, the ebbs and flows on a game on a week-to-week basis, you can evaluate. But whether you want to crown Aaron Rodgers or replace Aaron Rodgers on a week-to-week basis, it's just an exhausting conversation. And it's just those hot-button, dramatic takes where you're either the best in the league or you're the worst in the league. Not every take has to be so dramatic and so, you know, polarizing with where you place them. You know, you can have a tempered opinion to say, you know what, Rodgers didn't play his best ball last week, but collectively, I still trust him. He still has the same ability. We just need to go out and execute next week.
Right. I would agree with you on that. And I guess as you watch the film, broke it down, look at it, and, you know, probably don't do as much as you're doing. Did Rodgers get away from what Rodgers was doing when they won four games in a row?
You know, I feel a little bit, but, you know, you have to give the Bucs some credit for, you know, stopping the run earlier in the game. But you have to think back and how the ebbs and flows of that game went. The Packers jumped out to a 10-0 lead, and the first quarter seemed great. They had a 10-play drive for a field goal and an 11-play drive for a touchdown. But the way they moved the ball was not a sustainable formula. Aaron Rodgers held onto the ball a little bit longer than he had been, made a couple really nice second reaction throws where he just escaped the pocket, even took off and ran and took a big hit down on the goal line. But that formula is not sustainable for four quarters. And that really isn't the formula that the Packers had been using through four weeks. Aaron Rodgers had been playing with timing and rhythm from the pocket, never leaving that tackle box very rarely this year. And I love that philosophical change as he's getting older and a little bit slower and trusting the people around him. I love that he's not, you know, escaping and relying on improvisation. But those first two drives of the Bucs were a little bit reverting back to those old ways of holding the ball, waiting for coverage to break down. Next thing you know, interception. Next drive, interception. Three and out, three and out. The second quarter was a disaster, and the game seemed like it was out of reach by the time you went into halftime. So looking back on that first quarter, even though they put up points, even though they moved the ball, it wasn't the formula the Packers had been using through 4 weeks.
Well, let me ask you this. Sorry about Leroy. I just got one more. The game plan that you saw from Todd Bowles, was that a big difference? Because I think we talked a little bit about last week. You know, we know that Matt LaFleur has been very good at scheming guys open and coming up with great game plans. And I guess on top of that, you had Aaron Rodgers playing at the top of his game. Did Todd Bowles and his defensive staff and what they did, did they have a game plan for success against Matt LaFleur?
Yeah, you know, he's an attacking defensive coordinator. He's going to put pressure on opposing protections and really challenge running backs and pass pro like he did with those blitzing linebackers. But Tampa Bay is going to stop the run and try to put you in third and medium and long situations so we can blitz you and put the pressure on you. And I think that was the perfect formula for the Buccaneers to say, let's make this Packers team one-dimensional. And, yeah, they did generate a couple explosive runs on them. I think they had two 20-yard runs, one from Williams, one from A.J. Dillon later in the game. But, you know, they weren't able to establish the run consistently on early downs. They tried a couple of those perimeter action things, you know, the right receiver screens and some yards after catch opportunities that didn't work out either. So I thought the Bucs put together a great formula and really attacked the Packers when they got into some favorable down and distances, and the pass protection wouldn't hold up. And then just when Aaron Rodgers stopped trusting his protection, he started to see those ghosts and his eyes started dropping. And then that's the Rodgers of 3-4 years ago, where he's immediately looking at the rush, immediately looking to escape and not trusting those big guys in front of him.
Ben, who's going to be the next guy you think to step up on the defensive line? I saw my Trevia Adams do a couple good things, but I also saw, you know, Lancaster didn't play. But, and I also, my second question real quick is, can Chris Barnes sustain this until Kamal Martin or Kirksey until these guys come back? Because they can't afford another injury at inside linebacker.
Yeah, absolutely not. You know, you hate to see that quarterback of the defense go out in any time, because I'm a huge believer of continuity and a consistent voice on the defense. And not having Kirksey these past two games, or past three games, it's just been an interesting kind of deployment of the defense. And against the Bucs, I mean, there's a couple plays where they're late getting guys in and out of the huddle. There's a 12-man on the defense down in the low red zone. And that weird 3rd-and-2 play where it looked like a coverage bust, I felt like they were late to get lined up. So a lot of that, I think, is an extension of the play calling in from the sideline and who's calling that play in the defensive huddle. And if it's a young, undrafted free agent like Chris Barnes, and then potentially, you know, having a new voice in sub packages, or maybe a new voice next week as well with a Kamal Martin, I just think that's a recipe for disaster on defense as far as communication and continuity. And I feel like last week in the game, you really started to see some of that you know, those issues with getting lined up and the organization in and out of the huddle. So that's really concerning. But as far as who's going to step up, this Packers team needs its best players to step up. They need Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Kenny Clark, Jair, Adrian Amos to show up. They need their best players to play their best ball. And then if the young guys and the role players can contribute here and there, great. But by no means can you look at, you know, Montrevious Adams or Kingsley Kikee or Chris Barnes or even Darnell Savage and say, I need you to be an impact player on a drive-to-drive basis. I just think that's asking too much out of those young players. You need your best players to show up consistently. And so far through 2020, the best players for the Packers defense have not performed and lived up to what we expect.
You know, you brought up earlier in the week, talking with Ben Fennell at the NFL Network, that Pettine dialed up a season-high 13 blitzes and sprinkled in some new fronts with stunts and twists. But as you pointed out, if Brady gets the ball out, what is a rush supposed to do at this point? Was the idea of how to get after this offense maybe not the right idea by Pettine?
You know, it's tough, and it's a philosophical decision with Mike Pettine, but I feel like the anger towards Pettine is a little misguided. I feel like people are mad at Dom Capers, mad at Mike Pettine. They don't necessarily know what they're mad at. So the lack of pressure on Tom Brady, you have to go back and look at the tape and say, he dialed up blitzes. In fact, the most blitzes this year, he dialed up some creative twists and stunts. Tom Brady's a quarterback that does not leave the middle of the pocket. You know where Tom Brady's going to be. They don't move the pocket. They don't roll him out. They don't boot him out. They don't sprint him out. He doesn't move. He doesn't break the pocket. You want to blitz those quarterbacks because you know where they're going to be consistently. So I like the philosophy. But Tom Brady, the 45-year-old quarterback, one of the best minds in the league, no defense covers everything. And Tom Brady is going to find that vulnerability in the defense and get the ball out of his hands. We hit him twice on 30-something dropbacks. The only other time under Pettine we didn't touch a quarterback that much was Jimmy G in the NFC Championship game. But he dropped back 9 times that game. So there were much less opportunities in that San Fran game as opposed to Sunday against Tom Brady. But I cannot fault Mike Pettine for attacking Tom Brady with the blitz because those are those statue quarterbacks you want to attack. But as Leroy knows, the pressure in the front have to be tied together with the coverage. And there just wasn't enough continuity with the front and the coverage tied together. That if you're pressuring, you're getting a free hitter, you're expecting that ball to come out, what do you do, Leroy? You tighten down on the outside because you know that ball's coming out in 2.5 seconds. And I just saw too much lack of continuity with the front and the coverage.
Well, let me and you're talking about the rush. I saw an article somewhere where Todd Bowles had faced Rodgers before and didn't blitz him that much. And I guess since Arco said this is the most that Todd Bowles ever blitzed Aaron Rodgers. Is there something in Rodgers' game now where he's become maybe a little bit vulnerable to being blitzed now at this age or something?
You know, I think I saw a similar article. I think it was reflecting that Jets team. I don't know if it was last year or the final year under McCarthy. Where or maybe it was Arizona or whatever it was.
No, it was Jets. Yes,
yeah, I'm not really sure how to attack Aaron Rodgers right now because through the first 4 weeks of 2020, this is a guy playing within timing, rhythm of the offense, not breaking the pocket a whole lot. You know, I think he was getting the ball out of his hands regardless. So I don't know if necessarily you wanted to blitz him. So it was interesting style for Todd Bowles to say, you know what, let's go get this guy anyways. Even if he's playing in timing and rhythm and getting that ball out fast this year, let's attack the pocket. Let's put pressure on the protection. Let's see if we get his eyes to drop and really kind of trust that the Packers receivers on the outside aren't going to be able to uncover in man-to-man coverage and be able to get themselves open for Aaron Rodgers. So I think there's a couple different ways to attack this Packers offense. They obviously are very privileged to have Levante David, Devin White, Shaq Barrett, a bunch of quarterback killers and a lot of speed on that defense. It's pretty fun to have those guys to deploy. So their formula is stop the run and make them one-dimensional. And then, you know, Leroy, the whole defensive playbook is open. If you get them in the third and medium and third and longs, you could just start spinning the Rolodex and calling whatever pressures and coverages you want. So I thought they got in some favorable down and distances, and they took advantage.
Yeah, let me ask you this, too. I got one more, Roy. You don't mind? Oh, and then I'm not going to let him go. He's going to. And this is Gary Ellison, by the way. A lot of people get
LaVar. You're not going to let him go.
No, I'm not going to let him go. Well, I'm not going to say, hey, I got one. This is the last question. We're going to let you go. But I'm not going to say that. So I'm going to let you get your question in. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. We were talking today. our question on the docket. I know we don't talk to you a lot about stuff like this. What would you rather have? Would you rather have, let's say, like OBJ, Julio Jones, the Fuller kid over there at the Texans, AJ Green, Kenny Stills? Would you rather have one of those guys, Antonio Brown, one of those guys, or JJ Watt for the Green Bay Packers?
Oh, that's a really good question.
What would be better for the Packers?
Coming from how the Packers season ended last year and looking at the two teams in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl, the 49ers and the Chiefs, boys, I'm ready just to light up the scoreboard. 30, 40 points, whatever it takes.
I said that earlier. Yeah.
Track meet, you know, and if the defense wants to give up 25, 30 or whatever late in the fourth quarter, go for it. But the formula in the NFL right now, defenses are struggling everywhere in the league.
They are.
And offenses are lighting up scoreboards. And if you look at last year's formula, I mean, between the five of us listening right now, I don't know if we could say who played cornerback for the Chiefs and the 49ers last year in the Super Bowl.
Correct.
It really didn't even matter. You know, they had some pass rushers, and they lit up the scoreboards. And I want to see the Packers light up scoreboards and outscore teams more of that track style. So as much as I'd love to see a J.J. Watt caliber of player, you know, put into Mike Pettine's defense, I want to see more speed, more weapons, more threats around Aaron Rodgers.
And so which one of those receivers is what you want? Which one of those receivers would you want then? What fit?
I would probably lean towards Odell Beckham, considering his speed, his ability to win on every level of the defense. I love his ability to generate yards after catch, whether it's quick game or end-around stuff, and he can win down the field and double moves. I'm telling you, if you put the right weapons around Aaron Rodgers, I do not say this lightly, he can play until he's 44, 45 years old, but you got to keep adding weapons and threatening bodies around him and let him just be that pocket passing, distributing assassin that I know he can be.
You got one more, Gary? That's it.
Yeah, I really do. I can talk to him all day. All right, so let me ask you this question.
Okay, this is the last one.
This is really true, last one. Because I said this earlier, too. We were talking about this. And just from, because outside looking in, Ben, what's your perception on where do you think the Green Bay Packers are as an organization? Meaning that, are they, like, you know, would they do this goal? Steve, what's the deal that they that this
Matt Schneidman of The Athletic has some proposed trades, and he went with the Texans beat writer as well on this one involving the Texans. Packers acquired defensive end J.J. Watt and wide receiver Will Fuller from the Texans for a 2021 second-round pick, 2021 fourth-round pick, and 2021 sixth-round pick. Packers have multiple picks in the fourth and sixth, so that really would not hurt them at all.
Would you get down with something like that?
I mean, it's a fun exercise to say, you know what, I would love to exchange all this, you know, loose end and fat and trash around the Packers roster for some pieces that are going to contribute. That would be great, you know, to hit that magic button to say, player A, B, and C, you guys really aren't working out for us. Let's go get, you know, X, Y, and Z because they're better players. That sounds great and all, but obviously the Texans have the Packers tape as well. They know the ability of the Packers players, but as far as just taking a step back and saying, where's the state of this Packers team moving forward? I think they have a kind of a draft and develop issue right now. And until we start seeing more production out of some of these draft picks, you know, particularly ones that they've taken with, you know, rather high draft capital, whether it's, you know, Montrevis Adams, third round pick, or Kevin King, or, you know, Savage and Gary being first round picks, and Jay Sternberger, and, you know, obviously the first three picks this year with Deguara, Dillon, and Love. Just need to see more production out of the homegrown draft picks. And it feels like the most impactful players are guys they're picking up kind of off the streets, whether it's Adrian Amos or, you know, the Smith brothers, or, you know, I just feel like they're not getting enough production from the high draft capital players. Sure, we could point to an Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, Bakhtiari, Devontae. There are homegrown players, but just not as consistently as I would like to see.
There he is. He joins us each and every Thursday. Ben Fennell from the NFL Network. Obviously, you can follow him on Twitter as well. Ben, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Take care. There he is, Ben Fennell on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
He's going to come back.
Oh, I just hung up on him. Okay, call him back, Plucker. I'm sorry.
No, I don't need him back.
No, I needed to talk to him off the air, and I just totally hung up on him. If applying for a home renovation loan has you feeling anxious, well, breathe. And let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Grit started now at greatmidwestbank.com. As part of the big show brought to you by Toro Snowblowers for Grizzly Winters, you need a Toro PowerMax snowblower. It's a beast on snow. Act now. Get up to $100 off on select Toro PowerMax snowblowers. See your Toro retailer now. Win winter with a Toro. Coming up next. It's time for us all to feel sorry for Greg Jennings. Oh, poor Greg. That's next on The Big Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.